That's right. If you're hearing that noise, that's because Unnecessary Talking is back, y'all.
We're back, baby.
We're back, yeah. And it's election addiction.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you know what? That's really apt. Because America is addicted right now to the election. I, of course, meant election edition. But why not? No, it is election edition because tonight is the GOP Nevada caucus. That's right. The GOP Nevada caucus.
And it is right now.
2016 now, yet we still use the word caucus.
That's right.
Is it not time to move on
to a different term?
We've given the women the vote, and yet we still make them go to a caucus.
Caucus. Yeah. That's unfortunate. I didn't really think about that.
That
now.
Was some grade A original material.
Caucus. Right there.
So, high-minded.
Really want our listeners to really, really think, you know, really think about the important things like caucus.
But the thing is that this is election edition, man, because Sean and I, unfortunately, are interested in this whole political thing, and so that's just all we really feel like talking about right now in this edition. Maybe we'll have other interests in our lives or whatever, but for now, it's just like we want to talk Trump, Hillary, or as Sean calls her, Shillery.
Yeah, I can't claim like I took credit for that, but yeah, no, there's just at least me personally, Jace, as I'm watching this, like, I feel like my sports addiction, because, you know, I'm in the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I'm just super into the Seahawks. And then when our season ended, it just shifted over to what's happening in politics. And I've channeled everything towards it. And the more I watch, the more fired up I get, the more engaged I get.
Right.
And I hope that, you know, everybody, that's the idea, is that everybody gets engaged, right?
Yes. But, I guess.
But yeah, no, I have so many like opinions and thoughts which probably won't be shared over the air because I'll spare you all that. But
yeah, we don't want to get political.
You watch it, and you get fired up, and you get it. You get the something in your belly, the
fire in your belly.
Fire. Thank you.
Yes.
That sounded awkward for a second.
I don't know what you get in your belly.
The something in your belly. No, this is going to be good, and we're going to try to make it not too, what do you call?
NPR NewsHour?
Yeah, we don't want it to be boring, and we're not trying to be, you know, Mr. Joe Entertainment and be hitting it every time, but,
right.
You know, hitting the funny every time, but we're trying to make it, we're going to hit some topics and make it kind of fun, hopefully.
We'll hit some topics, we'll miss others.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
One of the things for me is that I feel like when I go to work, like I have all these thoughts about what's going down on the political scene and what I think of Trump and what I think of, you know, whatever. And like that's all in my head, and my wife can only take it for so long, right? Like I can't keep droning on and on because she gets tired of it or whatever. So it's like I get to work and I'm like, I want to talk to you people about it, but it'll be awkward and you won't get my humor and you'll get offended or you won't understand that half of what I'm saying is only a joke anyway.
Right.
And so it's like, I need an outlet and I want to hear people like talking about it. And also I don't have cable, so I don't have that like outlet where I can see talking heads talking about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So like, so that's one reason why I want to do this.
Well, and I feel like that cable news that you're talking about, like that is the focal point for, or the impetus, or whatever the word I'm looking for.
This is a family show.
Sorry, I know, that was wrong. No, that's like the source for like my angst. Like I hate to say, but that's where I digest most of my political information.
But that's also, you can fatten an advertiser's wallet. Does that bother you?
Well, it's
just fodder.
Here's my deal.
There's no real content there.
I recognize, and I'm going to sound so, like, mightier than, or what do you call
it? Mightier than the sword. You're a pin.
Not that, but holier than thou,
yeah,
or whatever.
Mightier than you.
High and mighty. High and mighty. Okay, so I recognize that, like, MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, that's entertainment media. I understand the way the dynamic
works. It's infotainment, Sean.
They look for ratings. they do whatever they can to increase ratings so that advertisers are happy and they buy more time.
Yes.
Buy more time. That's what it is.
Yes.
So that's the focus, what they're trying to do. That's not to inform us and to find the stories that would maybe interest us more.
Right, and to be the fifth column of the country that we need, you know, to keep power in check. The journalism is supposed to do that.
Right, it's not that at all. No. It's just totally entertainment media, and I recognize it for what it is. But I can't help it. I can't help but watch. I can't help. And I always, it's so funny because I sit there and I watch. Well, it's not funny, but it is what it is. I sit there and I watch with the missus. We're watching, and she's kind of passive about it. She's kind of getting more into it now that I'm watching all the debates and stuff.
Who's her horse? Is she feeling the burn like you?
She's feeling the burn. But my instant reaction to things when I see like a candidate talk or I see like a story, you know, just some off-the-cuff story that somebody's talking about, I have a reaction that's instantaneous, and it's based off of emotion, and I can't cite you any sources when I start bloviating about whatever.
Yeah.
I have that reaction, and I really go with it.
Right.
And then I reflect later, and I realize, man, that would never hold up in the court of any sort of public discourse at all, and I'm not going to be like that, at least, you know, unnecessary talking. I would never speak out of turn on unnecessary talking, but...
Okay, good.
I think that initial emotional reaction is what gets people into it. I hope that's what gets people into it, and I hope that cooler heads prevail and people critically analyze and think more beyond that initial emotion of how they feel, what they see on TV. Do you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Especially mm-hmm. on entertainment media.
Yeah, you really nailed it, man. You really knocked that out of the park.
Cool.
Nah, I wasn't really following you, but no, I'm kidding. That's the thing. Is it? So I think what you're saying is that like. Okay, it can be entertainment that draws you in. You got to have a hook. Something draws you in, but that you get interested in the actual policies and, you know, right?
Like, well, I think that my wish is that the entertainment makes it somewhat...
more like the NFL so that palatable. You can actually like it.
It makes it... Why am I guessing at words? I'm totally guessing words, trying to sound smart, hoping they stick. It makes it somewhat digestible. Say, hey, yeah. You know, the entertainment media gets you into it. That's what got me into politics, is watching Bill O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not Mr. PBS NewsHour. That's total, yeah. You know, shout him down and whatever. Yeah. But that got me into it and made me want to...
He had a no-spin zone that was inviolable. You couldn't spin in the O'Reilly no-spin zone. All I cared about was truth.
Could not spin. He had the premium membership and talking points memo.
And a pen. He had a pen you could buy from a store. My mom bought me one.
I wanted the pen. I wanted the
books.
Porch mat.
The porch mat.
The no-spin zone porch mat. But, you know, regardless of how ridiculous that was, that got me into it so much so that I redirected my major in college, my focus, whatever, you know, my studies to be on in political science. That got me engaged.
Yes, so, and it really paid off.
Even though O'Reilly is, you know, kind of a whatever, you know, it worked towards it. I actually got more engaged, and I would hope that people would, however they get into the political process, whether it's through that or whatever, I would like to think that that would happen for a lot of people, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just me and the anomaly. But
maybe it is you. So you should tell the people, you should tell the good people who listen to Unnecessary Talking. I'll give you 60 seconds to say who your candidate is and why you're vying for him. This is a caucus. This is a mini caucus. So in honor of the Nevada caucus, give your 60-second spiel on why people should be feeling... The burn, not the kind you need the cream for, but just the regular.
Well, I want to talk about that one. And then 60 seconds. Wow. By the way, everybody always says that, like, 60 seconds, what can I do? But really, it goes to like 27 seconds. It goes to 27 seconds, and then you like fill time after that. And
you're like,
yeah. But no, it's one of those things you just say. But no, I like Bernie because what I look for is, and I feel like a lot of people are looking for this, is that person who's different, who's going against the same old crap that we see time and time again. You know, you look at it throughout the years, and it's just like this system that's in place on many different levels. And the level that's the most visible, obviously, is the presidential level, where we have one person who's representing one branch. He's a leader of the government, and
correct,
and it's the same kind of cookie cutter, same deal, and they espouse, you know, to the same, relatively the same ideals and the same, you know, system how it works.
Yeah,
I'm looking for somebody who's somewhat genuine, and you know what? Actually, Now that I'm thinking you're right. I do need 6 seconds. Let me wrap it up in 1 second. I won't even get into anything he's really speaking to. It's just the quality he has, which is that he's genuine. I want somebody who's speaking for their voters and American public who actually means what they say and isn't just saying what should, quote unquote, should be said. I want somebody who is real. And regardless on what side, I want somebody who is real.
Well, hold on. I was going to let you go scot-free, but you don't really mean regardless of either side, I just want somebody who's being like honest or being real. That's not really true. Like, you have to agree with them to some extent, right? Like, you're not saying your only criteria is, well, as long as you're being genuine, then I'm interested in voting for you. Ben Carson is probably genuine, but you have no interest in him.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I'm not a Ben Carson
guy.
That's
true, but I will say that the actual genuine politicians, how many can you count how many like that you've seen?
Yeah, there's like 6.
I would not count Ben Carson as a genuine politician. I will not count any politician. I just don't see anybody who is genuine who says what they really believe. And they aren't and I guess everybody panders to a degree. That's what you do. You try and get votes. I get that, but
yeah.
No, you're right. If it came down to it where there's two genuine people, one on one side, one on the other, obviously I'm going to pick the one that is aligned with my values. Like,
yeah,
you're right. If it came down to somebody who was same old, like as you said, shillery. That wasn't my word. That was your word. Shillery versus like a Trump who he's kind of on the other side of that genuine. Like you feel like he really believes what he says. I'm going to vote Shillery because she's more aligned with what I'm for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See,
so
there
you're
you
right.
go. Okay, good.
You shut me down.
So that debate's over.
I'm out of here.
6 points me. No, I'm just kidding. But, so you want to know who my guy is?
Oh, yeah.
Or so gal.
I'll give you 60 seconds. I will give you 60 seconds, Chase.
Good.
Or gal. Or gal.
Let me stand on my podium. I don't have a guy.
Want Fiorina to get back in.
I tonight asked Carly Fiorino to please humbly step back in the race.
Is there not her name?
I don't know. No, here's the thing. I don't have a guy. I really don't. I'm so uninterested in politics. And I used to be really into it. See, that's the interesting thing is who would, if this was 2004, Jason, in 2016. Jesus, that's a long time ago.
It is. Good Lord.
But if it was 2004, Jason, who was highly political engaged to the extent that he offended a lot of people, and I was proud of that fact.
Right. Worth it.
Who would I be going for now? Oh, man, you wouldn't even, like, want to know me. Like, I don't know. I guess I would be going for, I don't know. I guess I'd have a hard time between Cruz and Trump or whatever. But I don't have anybody this time around. And because I just really don't care. And one thing that I've realized, I had this realization, I don't know, over the weekend or whatever, is that I'm just no good for politics because every idea that I hear somebody say, I'm like, yeah, that's not a good idea. That's not going to get us anywhere. And like, I only see the negatives. And like every single idea, whether it's Republican or Democrat, I'm like, yeah, that's not a good idea. So it's like, I shouldn't even be like involved. Like clearly, like I'm not qualified because some ideas are good and they work. But everybody I look at, I'm like, nah, they suck. You know, it's you know, the Republicans were in control and they didn't get anywhere. And all the Democrats are going to spend too much money and they're going to screw us over that way. And so none of it works.
So are you the type where you crap on all the ideas, but you have no idea for yourself? Like, what I'm asking is, Jason, will you run? No, I'm saying that are you the type where you don't like any of the ideas and you have no, like, alternative? Like, this is what we really should do and add another wrinkle to it. Or do you, like, is somebody... You know what I'm saying? Like, you have something.
No, I really don't because the thing is that I try to be as open-minded as possible, right? And so that's a problem right off the bat because I hear somebody present an idea and I'm like, well, that's a good idea. And then I hear somebody critique it and I'm like, oh, man, they got a good point. Like, that idea sucks. And then the critiquer will give their idea and I'm like, well, that's pretty good. But then I hear somebody critique that idea and I'm like, oh, they're right. That sucks. And so, like, everything makes sense to me. Like, if you tell me tax more, tax less, like the Reaganomics trickle down, like the way it should work, like ideally, I'm like, oh, hell, that's great. And then a liberal will be like, oh, here's why that doesn't work. And that's why we're here now. I'm like, yeah, I can kind of see that. Like, it all makes sense to me. And so, therefore, none of it makes sense to me. And I'm not a good judge because, like, I listen to everybody and I'm like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So, somebody's got to be right. Somebody has to have a better idea. And I have apparently no way of actually discerning what that idea is. So,
what's incredible is that you've really come full circle because 2004 Jason, which is a version that we all love. We all love 2004 Jason. You were the exact opposite. Is that you?
Yeah.
You heard an idea and you went to war no matter what, and you would justify it however which way, even if everybody.
I was really good at logic.
And they threw their book at you, and they wanted to, you know, they used debate 101 and tried to do everything they could. It did not matter. It would not budge you.
Yeah.
And now you're at the point where now where. You went from like, okay, here's my idea, here's what I'm gravitating towards, and I'm not budging to, I don't know. I mean, it's weird that you've evolved to that a little bit. But I think that the way it typically works with most people is that they have a feeling, and they have their experiences, and they know what. They know what they want, they know what they've seen, and they're looking for that person who's going to deliver some version of what they want.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And they're not just going to, like, debate the... They're not going to look at the debate and just see, like, this person says what, tit for tat, and debate that part. They're going to actually... They have their idea of what they want, and they're going to look for it. They're going to look for that debate. They're going to look for that idea that they want, right?
Yeah, well, that makes me think of why I hate this political season. I mean, I hate all of them because I'm not into politics anymore. But I hate primary season right now because it's so disingenuous. So not only are the candidates saying usually, and maybe Bernie's an exception and I would agree that maybe he is, but usually the candidates are just saying the stuff they need to say to get elected. They're exciting the base, right? Mm-hmm, right. And so they're like saying, maybe making, you know, pie in the sky promises. Nobody's better than that than freaking Trump. We need to go back to him. But so I hate it because everybody's saying things that they don't really mean and they know won't really come true. But also the voters are like so they pick their horse or whatever. And so like people and it's especially interesting within the party. So like when a Republican critiques another Republican or vice versa, it's like. All of a sudden, you're making these arguments for why you don't like that person, whereas if they were just your candidate because they're on your team and you didn't have any other choice, you'd be like, oh, yeah, they're great. But when you're saying, oh, I like Cruz and not Trump and here's why, you're just saying all this stuff that you won't be saying 6 months from now when you're actually voting for that person because that's the only choice that you have. I hate that because it's just a bunch of dishonesty.
Well,
it's a bunch of bullcrap.
I know. Here, but... I get it.
It's bullcrap.
I get it. I get it. It's human.
You'll vote for Hillary even though she's shillery right now, and you hate her.
It's okay. Here's the deal.
Because Bernie's not going to win. He doesn't have the delegates.
It's a system we have. It's a system we have, and we have human nature working against us. Okay, so
yeah,
the way it should be is we have tons of time to be able to thoroughly vet and examine and go through everybody's ideas
vet
and do
this.
All that.
We got the lamestream media, you know, giving us the information that we need to make our decisions.
Here's the deal. It starts. Okay, this is how it happens. Okay. Not only is human nature, but it starts off early on. We're in grade school and high school, whatever.
Yeah.
And people run for student council.
Right.
And
we should abolish student council.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. But
remember
no,
when Jared ran?
How can I forget?
He ran for treasurer, and his tagline was, I will treasure your money.
No, that wasn't right. It. That wasn't sorry. It, Jared. But getting back to that,
student
council. It goes back to that where it's like, hey, every Friday, everybody gets free pop from the pop machine. Yeah, you know, I'm throwing candy to everybody. No, that's the way like it is in the beginning. Is you're trying to win people over.
Yes,
because you don't have
it's like love.
It's not realistic.
Yeah.
To sit however many people down and go over things and really have the thorough.
Now we're gonna review my tax policy.
You need to do it in snapshots and you
page
need,
one.
I know. And they summarize what they're allegedly standing for, and that's a snapshot.
And then they flip-flop.
Yeah, it's a snapshot of what's happening, and that's all we have to go on because that's the reality of how it is. It sucks, but there is no other way. There's no other way unless we change human nature. and we change,
which I'm for,
and we change the way time works, and we have like 40 hours in a day or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this though? The fact that whoever is running this freaking country, it is so removed.
Here we go.
It is so removed from your day to day. I don't care if it's extreme Republican or Democrat. The way that Washington works, the way the founding fathers set it up, is that it is gridlock. It moves slow as molasses. And so even if you have all the most radical ideas ever or whatever, it's really more of a figurehead symbolic position than it is somebody who actually is sitting at the wheels of control and, you know, da 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 da.
Right.
What say you?
Well, I think that...
Like, how does George Bush or Barack Obama affect how you wake up and go to work and get married and have your kid and all that sort of stuff?
I know, I don't think there's a direct relationship, but that doesn't mean that what he does or doesn't do isn't important. So
It doesn't. It's just saying, put it in perspective. Like, right. We get so worked up about it, and people get so ugly, and people lose friends on Facebook and all that sort of stuff. It's so
nasty.
Obama, God, I hate it. Yeah, and like people get all hateful and God, yeah. I hate it. But like it doesn't really affect you. Yes, I agree, it's important, but like it's not as important to your life as like the job that you have.
Yeah, well, on the day to day, but on the day to day, you're not going to see that much difference. But if you're going to look at across a spectrum, if you're going to look at like a generational or like over a period of time, does the U.S. stance change in the Middle East somehow? I mean, you know, foreign relations, that's a big part of it.
If a butterfly flaps its wings and, you know, the butterfly effect, I don't care. I'm not with that butterfly. I'm at work.
Well, you're part of the country that that butterfly is representing.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
That was a shutdown. Which leads directly into Trump.
I'm hiding on my desk now.
Which leads directly into Trump and why he's basically the best presidential candidate ever. Mm. Because anything bad that ever happens, he says, if I was president, that wouldn't happen.
It's absurd. And it's
working. He's at the top of the polls. People are buying this.
Okay. So here's...
If I was president, that wouldn't happen. And then they cheer, and then he's going to get elected president.
It's like we're in student council again. We're running for student council, and we're trying to vote for the cool guy. We're trying to vote for the coolest, toughest guy who's shutting everybody down and making fun of everybody. We're all laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Like, screw you, Cruz, and you're a liar, Rubio, and all that. We are, like, they gravitate towards the personality. It's all personality. And in terms of specifics and how things are going to get done, that doesn't matter. It's the fact that I'm going to do it. I'm going to win. You know, I have the results. I'm a winner.
We're
going to
build a wall. It's going to be the most beautiful wall.
It's going to be a beautiful wall. I can't do an impression. That impression sucked. Damn it. I wish we could go back and delete it. But no, he's selling the personality. He's selling himself, the brand, which is what he's always done, except for he's doing it in an election. He's selling the Trump brand.
Yes.
He's not getting into specifics about, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the special convoy over to here and then the three-point plan over here. No. He does not get into any specifics about anything as it relates to foreign policy, as it relates to even at home in terms of how we would like to somehow shape the economy. There's no specifics at all. It's the fact that there's winners and losers. He's a winner and everybody else is a loser, so go with the winner.
He says, when I'm president, I'm going to have really smart people. I'm a smart guy. I'm going to put really smart people in there, and it's going to be great. Like, that's
going to be great.
His policy.
It's going to be great.
That's his policy.
And by the way, great is relative. Great can mean great for Wall Street. It can be not great for us. You know what I mean?
And I guess the people who like him are like, oh, thank God. He's going to put good people in there, and everything's going to be awesome.
It's just... But see, that's the snapshot. They get that snapshot. They don't want to look into it more. Either they don't have the capability to, or they don't care to. They don't want a deep dive. They want a winner. They want somebody who they can, they want to associate themselves with, who's perceived as a quote unquote winner, and they're in love with the personality. And the personality is a big part to presidential elections, huge part, right?
Well, it's a reflection of the entertainment, you know, environment that America lives in. I think is that like. Well, and it's kind of like what you said at the beginning, like, oh, you know, like I'm not – football season's over, so I got to get something to get into. And it's like, yeah, this is our next form of entertainment. That's kind of bad. Yeah. But it's true because I'm feeling the same way. And
we rely on, though, at least I hope we rely on is that there are some semblance of educated voters that are able to separate the entertainment aspect of what's happening in politics and media – and actually get serious. It's not a joke. It's not a joke when Trump is on, like I was just telling you in our pre-show meeting, that that when a protester yanks the cords on the lights at his speech, and all of a sudden he says, yeah, that's better. Yeah, keep those lights off. And then the guy who's in charge of the lights turns it back on as he's supposed to do. But then Trump yells at the guy who operated the lights, no, turn off the lights. And then he tries to lead a crowd into it, turn off the lights. And some anti, you know, there's a rebellious thing against the light guy. Then he find, you know, and then he tries, gets it back on. And that's, hey, what are we doing? What is happening? This is the president. We're running for president. This is what's happening.
High school president.
What are we doing here? What are we doing? It's not a joke, and we laugh, but at some point we need people who are serious, man, who say, okay, that's great, but there's, you know what I'm saying, this is not the path we want to take.
Yeah, okay, so let me just throw this out there, because I am not, I don't like Trump at all. I really dislike him, as it seems that most people, at least that exist, do, but there's a lot of people who are voting for him, and so that's hard to understand. But yeah, no, I'm not a Trump fan. I don't want him to be president or whatever, but at the same time, I'm really annoyed by the hysteria, and like I have like a Facebook friend who is like changing her profile picture, like don't vote for hate and so on and so forth, and you know, just talking about like not voting for Trump or whatever, and it's like, you know what, let's say that he got elected, which I don't want, guess what, life would go on, he would just be the guy who's president. And he would face the day-to-day realities that every single freaking president. Yeah, exactly. And but like, he doesn't have unilateral control. He has a Congress he has to deal with. He has this. He has that. Blah blah blah. And we're in primary season where people are pretend and people are exaggerating and people are whatever. And he's a really pragmatic guy. So he's not a super hardcore Republican. He has a lot of liberal, you know, stances, and he's pro-abortion, for God's sake. Or at least he was. Now he's not, because he's running as a Republican. He can't be.
Right.
But, you know, what does he really believe? Nobody really knows. And so that's the point, is that he is clearly more of a pragmatist than an ideologue, somebody who's just committed to his, you know, ideology no matter the facts, which is terrible. And so it's like, if he was president, would it be would the apocalypse happen and we would get into 16 wars? He doesn't even want to be in war. Like, what's the negative thing that would happen? And like, yes, he says hateful, terrible things about, you know, not letting Muslims in. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous thing to say. But I don't know about your dad. I don't know about your listeners, your dads, but he sounds like my dad half the time. And like, I don't hate my dad. My dad says stupid things that I don't agree with. But whatever, that's people his age.
Yeah, but I love my dad too, but I don't want him as president.
No, I don't either. I'm just saying.
I know, and that's not a knock on my dad. I love my dad.
Yeah,
and it's not on any. I don't want any dad that I know to be president. I want the creme de la creme, the guy who's been tested. You're right though that the beauty part about our system is that it's set up to where somebody can't come in and just make wholesale changes right off the bat.
Yeah,
The only way that would happen is if you assume that the Congress dissolves, the Supreme Court dissolves, all the agencies and all the regulatory everything just all of a sudden goes away. Like Trump would wave a magic wand and say, nothing is holding me back.
Right.
It's a military dictatorship now. And I dissolve Trump's the here Constitution. Cannot happen.
Executive order. I dissolve the Constitution.
It cannot happen. There's too many regulatory controls in place.
Yes.
It cannot happen.
Yeah.
That's not to say, though, that he can do damage and that he could make an ass out of himself on the world stage and affect foreign relations, which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, people say that, but it's like, you know what? He can pull his crap together when he needs to.
Maybe.
He can turn off the act.
That's the question.
He does.
And that's the whole thing we're talking about, which is the charade of the political process and how people pander and present a version of themselves that's marketable to get people to vote for them, but is their true self? Is that their true self?
Yeah.
Or is their true self hiding?
I do think, and people will hear this kind of talk and they'll be like, oh, so he's for Trump. And it's like, no, I'm just trying to be honest about the situation. I do think it's very, very damning to the Republican Party, and I feel like the Republican Party has to be over. The fact that a lot of people think that he's just exaggerating and playing a part. So he's playing this horrible, hateful, ignorant dude, and he's at the top of the polls. Like, that is awful. That is very bad for the Republican Party. Like,
no,
that's embarrassing.
You say that, but The way I see it is that the Republican Party is changing, and as with both parties do, which is that as times change and circumstances change and there's different candidates that come in and out, that the Republican Party is changing and more people are gravitating toward that message. Like that old school conservative Newt Gingrich, you know, the same old bullet points that he has, that's old news. That's not working anymore.
Yeah, but
and they're moving more towards a brash.
He's really retrograde. He's retrograde. He's somebody who's like running, pandering to the white vote. I mean, that's super old school. And like calling out women in their periods and so on and so forth, like, right. And calling women like pieces of ass, like saying these things, like, right. That's super old school.
I know, though. But people are overlooking those little things and they're looking at the whole thing. They want the attitude. I mean, look at it. Okay, so in 2004, it was McCain. In 2004, it was Bush. Sorry. 2008, it was McCain. In 2012, right. it was Romney. Yeah. Those guys ain't putting any lead in anybody's pencil. Okay, it's not working. It's not happening. They want a change. I feel like Republicans want somebody that has ultimate confidence that they could really, because Democrats
gonna
at least
I'm build a beautiful wall.
I want to say
be beautiful.
What I'm saying is on my side, Jace, is that Obama. I felt that. I hate this word I'm about to say so much.
Oh jeez.
But he had that swagger. I hate that word. But he had it. He had that confidence. And you felt good about rooting for a guy like that. And I think that Republicans want to feel good about somebody they're rooting for instead of just going, okay, I guess we'll go for McCain. Or
that's true.
Yeah, Romney,
true.
Okay, let's go for him. You know, or they want to feel good about rooting for somebody. Not everybody, but I think that big segment obviously feels that way.
Yeah, you know? Totally. No, that's that was a really good point. Yeah, no, it was. No, seriously, I liked it. Because it's something that, like, I think about, and so it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's totally true. Honestly, it slipped my mind what it was, but I was like, when you were saying it, I was like, yeah, no, I really like that.
I agree with it so much, I forgot.
I was thinking about my next point, you know? This is not easy, you know, podcast, radio, or whatever. One other thing that I wanted to say about Trump is that... there is the law, and this is an ironclad law, and it's the law of unintended consequences.
Law of the land.
It's the law of unintended consequences. And so, in our best intentions, we're like, oh man, if we did this, we would have this and this and this. And we think out in our minds, you know, we plan out in our minds certain things. And so, when we put those things that we plan into action, it spawns a bunch of things that we didn't intend. So, you push the ball down the lane, and it's like, oh, it bumped into this and that, and I didn't mean for that to happen, but that's the way the world works. And so it totally makes me think of Trump, where it's like, he looks like an absolute train wreck disaster. He's a boorish idiot and all that sort of stuff, but it's like, and he really is, but it's like, you know what, that's the way life works, is that if somebody says for sure this thing's going to be a train wreck and they're calling it from the beginning, it probably won't be. And if people are saying, oh, this is going to be beautiful and amazing and awesome, it probably won't be. That is the law of unintended consequences. Things do not turn out exactly the way people predict them to turn out. That is a universal constant. And so that's another reason why I'm like, Trump, schmump, whatever. If he gets elected, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
Right. I think at the end of the day, whoever, and this is touching on what you said earlier, which is that whoever's in the presidential office, in terms of day-to-day realities of what we experience, has a somewhat minimal effect in day-to-day. That's not going to change. This is the way the system is. But I do think that if you look at long-term circumstances, well, short-term too. I mean, here's the thing, and I'm totally going off topic again. Is that
great?
Things are so complicated. It's so it's simplifying it whether we're reading it on Twitter from Politico, which is Politico or whatever website you pick, Drudge Report or whatever, or you're watching on MSNBC or whatever. It's just, I feel like there is no way you're going to be able to get all the information that you need, and there's no way that you're going to be able to be the ultimate informed voter. There's
no
way.
So never vote.
That's what I'm trying to say. Is I want you to all stay home. No, is that by just talking about it, there's no we by nature are simplifying the issue. There's no way we could thoroughly do it. So
yeah,
that should be an understood. It is what it is. What we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
But it is important to say that whoever's in leading the country, which is weird to say, whoever's leading the country in terms of day-to-day activities has a very minimal effect on what we do.
Yeah.
But we should be concerned about it. Because in the long term, it is, whether you like it or not, is the direction of where the country is going as it relates to the world.
Yes.
And, you know, just in country, how we need, there is one figurehead. It's not Congress. Congress is really the power where it's at, but we have one person who represents it, and that person, I think that matters. Who it is.
No, obviously. You're right. And when we're saying all this...
Captain Obvious, by the way. Gosh, damn.
No, it's not that obvious because, well, I don't know why, but...
but you're right. And, oh yeah, really good point. Just thanks for backing me up. You're like so supportive.
No, because when I was like, oh, it doesn't matter who's elected. Like, I was thinking about Bush, and it's like, if Gore... got elected in 2000, do we go to Iraq and, you know, set us on that whole trajectory that we did? First of all, maybe. Maybe we do. I don't know. But also maybe not. And so it's like, that's one man that's, well, I mean, you're surrounded by advisors and all right. that kind of crap. Right. But that is a personality, that is a perspective. You know, even when I say it, I'm like, yeah, but he's got his foreign policy guy telling him. Like, I don't know.
Right.
But it does matter. And the other thing that I didn't want to accept for a long time is that symbolism does matter. Because I hate symbolism. Like, you know what? I want reality. I don't want a symbolic victory. I want a real freaking victory. But symbolism does matter. And so the person that you put in the White House, in the Oval Office, all that, it you're right. It sends a message and it does matter.
It is symbolic. The president is symbolic. But also, how it can affect us day to day, though, is you think about healthcare, like, which... I'm very passionate about healthcare now.
Extremely passionate about healthcare.
And where do you start? And where do you start about trying to make that better? I think that if you're going to look for one person, it would be the person who has the most power, the most decision making power in all the country. Even with all the constraints that there are with Congress and all that, there is one person who has all that power vested into them, and I think it's important that that person is capable.
Yeah. I mean, look at what Obama did for healthcare. Thank God, boy, he fixed it, and now it's cheaper, and that's awesome, and we have better access.
And that's why I'm covering my bases and saying that things are more complicated than what they seem. So we can't just put Obama in there and everything's going to be better. It takes a little more than that. It takes a movement. It takes people voting in off-year elections to get the right people in who are going to get on board and fight against the same old crap.
Yeah.
Of which I hate and what started this whole podcast.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it's like, to Obama's credit or whatever, it's like, yeah, sure. He's like moving the ball down the road because he's like, okay, he got it further, you know, this way or whatever. So the next guy, a Bernie or whoever, can pick up the ball. And I get that because it's like, where it's at right now, it's like, it's better for poor people, which I'm happy for, but it's definitely not better for me and I assume for you. And so it's like, that pisses me off. I'm not happy about that, but I'm only one person. I'm only one segment of the electorate, and so it's like I can't require that all of the decisions that get made in Washington benefit me, but at the same time I feel like my ass is kind of flapping in the wind a little bit.
But there's that's a great visual, but there's arguments on all sides, I mean, for what people do. And
no, I'm glad that insurance is a lot more, is significantly more expensive than it was when he took office, and I will be penalized on my taxes if I don't buy it.
But that's more of a system. But then you see the people that are uninsured, that they're going in and they're not covered, and that's going to drive up costs too. Costs always go up. That's the truth, right?
Yeah.
But people who aren't insured and they go in and they go to the ER room and they have to do all these surgeries, who's paying for that?
Okay, so Obamacare's been in effect. Have costs come down now that that's in effect?
Well,
no.
I feel like that's more to the system. That's more to how much power.
Right, and I ain't got time. I only got 3 score and 70 here. It's got to get better now.
You get screwed either way, so let's have people who are insured who can get taken care of. I feel like then say, screw you later, fend for yourself, I have mine. That's not going to work.
No, I'm going to put my foot down on this one right now. No, I'm kidding. All right, so we've been going for a long time, and that's awesome. Is this your lead out?
Yeah, I got
Wait. I want to talk about one other thing.
I'm going to play it.
One or two other things. I know we've been going for a while. Just turn it off if you're tired of us or whatever. I want to touch on one hot topic as of late. That's not necessarily political, but it could be or whatever. But I'm curious if you have an opinion on it, because I have such an opinion on it. I started to write a blog on it, and then I'm like, oh, whatever. I'm just not even going to put it out there. But do you know about the chick who worked for Yelp and wrote the letter
yes.
and got fired?
Yes.
Okay, so the quick background is, girl works for Yelp, works in San Francisco, customer service agent, entry-level job, claims that after taxes, she makes $8.15 an hour, writes an open letter to the CEO of Yelp saying, thanks a lot, CEO. I can barely afford anything. Rent costs this much. My commute costs this much. And I can't even heat my apartment. And I can't buy food. And I'm starving. And da-da-da-da. And then she gets fired once that gets published. What was your take on that?
So that was an open letter to the CEO?
Yeah.
It was?
It was, like, published. Tweeting. No. Oh. She tweeted afterwards saying, I might get fired. I don't know. But it was, like, published, like, on a website.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are my thoughts on it in terms of, should not have gotten fired?
Yeah. Like, do you think that was messed up? Oh, but more to the point, okay, she got fired. That's one issue. But also, does she have a point? Is she just being whiny? Like, what was your take on that?
I think, first of all, the CEO backtracked and said, no, it wasn't me. I didn't make that call.
I didn't
fire him. I know, but he said that he didn't.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, you're right. He said that.
And he said that
he didn't. Do you assume that the CEO of a major company is making individual hiring and firing decisions?
I think it's possible. I think that it could happen directly or indirectly. I think people, his handlers, whoever, could be like, oh no, we need to take care of this before this becomes an issue. I think that's possible. I think that somebody who can be petty enough, even at the highest level, to say, no, screw it, get her out of here,
whatever, right.
and just be petty like that because they have an ego. I think that's possible too.
That's certainly possible.
I think that whining about something and what was the purpose of what you're trying to do? Like, were you trying to get something because of what you're doing? Were you venting?
Yeah.
What was the purpose of what you were doing? And if the purpose was to get what you want, that is not the way to do it.
Right.
And, but I do think that the fact that it's so expensive to live in, well, I think that certain areas are more expensive than others.
They're all gentrified, right. And blah, blah, blah.
San Fran's ridiculous. Seattle's ridiculous.
Yes.
Entry level, it is what it is. It's the sign of the times, and you're not going to be able to make enough to live as your own. And I wish it was. I wish that you could support yourself. I think that someday, hopefully, wages and earnings can match with inflation and cost of goods and how that works. But that's not how it is right now. So the best thing you can do is just use the resources you have, which is friends. You live with friends. You live with your parents.
Right.
You try and work hard. You get more money. Hope that the system gets better. Hope that things align and get better. But no. Openly writing a letter to the CEO and hoping that somehow your situation is going to get better is not the way to go. That's how I feel.
All right. So here was my take. No. I don't hate this person, and I don't have anything necessarily negative to direct towards her or whatever. But honestly, like this was my feeling and this was my thought, is that are some things socially inequitable, and are there systemic problems and so on and so forth that are a reality? Absolutely. But we do live in America.
Society.
And the fastest pipeline, the fastest avenue, if you don't like how much money you're making, is to get a better job. Isn't it? I mean, do I sound like a crazy 60-year-old white privileged guy by saying that? I mean, do I? Because I understand that maybe I do, but at the same time, that's what millions of people do, is that they work their ass off and they go from job to job and they go back and they get schooling and they work at night and they work two jobs. I work two jobs to pay for my wedding. Like, you bust your ass. Like, that's what you do. And yes, there are, again, I'm not saying there's not systemic problems, but how far are you going to get complaining about the system versus bettering your individual scenario in the meantime while you wait for the CEO of Yelp to get super benevolent and pay everybody 70 grand a year or whatever, which she would probably still. Okay. So,
Trump.
I'm not trying to sound like an insensitive a-hole, but it's like, is that idea just lost? Because that was common. That was the common reaction, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, which seems to be lost now. I don't know.
The common reaction.
How does it not come across as millennial whining?
Okay.
To you.
Okay. Here's how it comes across. Is that things back in, let's just start in the 70s, You know, there's different things that affect the way things are. Like, the dollar doesn't go as far as it used to, right?
Yes.
Like, in the 50s, you could have one person working, head of a household, kids, wife stays at home, one car, house, everything's gravy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dollar does not go as far as it used to. The cost of goods, the way things are, the way wages are, and how they've remained
the
stagnant relative to how expensive things
far,
are.
But also, things aren't as expensive as they used to be. Like, there's all kinds of facts. It's lies.
They aren't expensive
it's
as they used to be.
Well, yeah, like, as a percentage of income, housing is less than what it was, you know, 50, 60 years
no
ago
way.
Or whatever.
No way.
Yeah,
I think housing's
I'll
think
point
housing
you to the
crazy.
Stats. I wrote them myself.
No, I think that there's a problem when, if you look at tuition, I mean, like, back in the 60s
terrible.
And 70s, it was
no,
way more
awful.
Attainable and that somebody who worked could somewhat
it's
pay that
awful,
off.
But if you're focusing on that, how are you going to move yourself forward? I mean, because you can. Is it possible? Is social mobility, is economic mobility possible?
You need to acknowledge the situation in the system the way it is right now.
On a political level, but on an individual level.
And whether you agree with
it or not. What's your best course of action?
Whether you agree with it or not.
Busting your ass.
Yeah, whether you agree with it or not. But that doesn't make it right on its own. I mean, there's
two levels.
More things.
Because I agree with you. I agree with you. So on like the corporate level, oh man, we got to do better. But while you're here now,
on a corporate level.
No, corporate as in all of us together.
My point is that I think they have I think it's okay to whine because I think it can be better and it was better and it's going in the wrong direction for people and the wages aren't keeping up with how expensive things are. So I think that there is a legitimate gripe, but the avenue in which she chose to express that gripe, I don't think was the right way.
Nobody. Okay, here's the last thing I'll say. Who?
I always have to get the last word.
Whoever said, I'm just gonna say this. You can't say anything else, and then we're gonna close out. No. I'm kidding. whoever said that you can fully sustain and support yourself in a wonderful way on minimum wage? Whoever said that? Like that? There are entry level jobs. The economy dictates what people are paid, right? So if there's a lot of competition for a role, you have to pay more for talent, okay? So I am a manager at a dermatology clinic, and I have seen that. Earlier in my career, it was easier to get a front office person for a lower wage, but the economy has tightened in Seattle, and so those skilled and smart people get better jobs. So if we want to get a skilled and smart person, we have to pay more money. That's called capitalism and competition. That's what that is. And so that's what dictates what you pay somebody is competition for that skill level. And so if it's entry level, there's not a lot of intelligence and skill involved. You don't pay a lot of money. It's really science. And so like what? Do I sound crazy?
Trump. No, I think that you're arguing two different levels. I think I agree with you if it's a salary position with somebody who's a seasoned professional. But the argument for the minimum wage
kids work minimum wage, okay? Minimum wage at McDonald's.
I don't think the minimum wage argument is based on the pedigree and skill level for that person. I think the argument for that is to give people who are making minimum wage enough to standard of living to be able to support themselves and others and to be able to further stimulate the economy because they have more money to spend.
Right, and that is a individual company's job is to do
that. I think that if you leave capitalism to regulate itself, there's going to be a lot of losers. Way more losers than there are winners.
I never asked for
and
that.
I think
I'm not calling
no, you're
for
saying
anarchy
that the market,
no government.
You're saying the market dictates how much people are worth, and I think that there's a little bit
I
more
think
to
child
it.
Labor laws are a good thing.
I think that there's a good mix as with everything, that there's moderation is good, and I think that capitalism can be good, and it can be really terrible, too. And I think that there's certain controls you could put in there to try and make it good for people, and I think that I am in favor of a higher minimum wage because I think that if more people are making more money to spend in the economy to stimulate it, that will work better than giving people like just blanket checks to be able to spend whatever that one time shot. I think that if you have a sustained system where people are making more to spend more, I know that there's an effect of that where people charge more because that happens, and if a business is paying more, then they have to inflate their prices to as a reaction, but that will not match apples for apples, it'll be marginal, and I think that people will still be better off, I think, with more money in their pocket.
Look, I
especially people that spent have more expendable income.
Right. I favor stimulation.
Oh yeah.
But that's another story. So I think we've said it all. I think we've
Trump.
I think we've done it all. Apparently I've come across as quite the Trump supporter. So I guess that's who I'm throwing my weight behind. All of my political weight and clout. Let's make America better. Make Trump America great. 2016. Damn it.
No, Jason 2016.
Yeah. Trump Jason 2016.
Yeah.
Happy voting out there, people. Make thank a you wise all. And informed
thank you all
decision.
For spending the 50 minutes listening to me and Jason.
Make the correct decision.
We love our listeners. We love our people. We're going to build a beautiful wall. You're going to love it. We're going to win again.
No, but obviously, we all joking aside, Sean and I are both very much for Cruz 2016.
Okay, let's end it now. Toodles.
Bye, y'all.